Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 9.5 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, October the 23rd. And congratulations. You did it. You helped Wisconsin Public Radio through another successful pledge drive. The drive ended yesterday with more than 7,100 members pledging $988,000 to help the networks of Wisconsin Public Radio, your local Wisconsin Public Radio station, and all of the programming that you depend on. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate your support, and we'll try as hard as ever to provide you with discussions on relevant, timely, and important issues that matter to you. This hour, this is an issue I think that matters to most of us. Do you have gray hair? Do you cover it up with hair dye? Why or why not? It might seem a superficial issue at first, but admit it. When you saw those first gray hairs, maybe more so if you're a woman, didn't you want to get rid of them so you didn't look so old? Well, our guest certainly did, and she's been dyeing her hair for a couple of decades to cover up the gray until just a couple of years ago when she decided to go gray. We'll find out why. And we'll find out how this changed her life. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions and maybe your own experiences. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Ann Kramer. She's the former executive vice president and worldwide creative director of Nickelodeon, Nick at Night, co-founder of Spy Magazine. She is the author of the new book, Going Gray, What I Learned About Beauty, Sex, Work, Motherhood, Authenticity, and Everything Else That Really Matters. And she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Hi, Joy. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I also saw that you wrote a piece for Time Magazine, The War Over Going Gray, and I picked up an issue of More Magazine for the first time, I think, ever.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen the magazine, but I actually purchased it from, you know, the checkout counter, and I opened it up to a piece, I think it was in More, where you talked about your internet dating experience as a gray-haired woman versus a dyed brown-haired woman.
Yes, I did. Well, you know, I had one of those kind of rare epiphanies we all are occasionally blessed to have a couple of years ago when I looked at a photograph of myself between my then 16-year-old daughter and a friend who had gray hair, and I was staying in the middle with this kind of heavy, very darkly dyed, almost helmet of hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, it's time to stop. And I realized as I started sort of thinking about that, that one of the things that scared me, and as I discovered in my later research, frightens a lot of women, is that, you know, as we get old, that we'll lose our kind of sexual attractiveness. So in doing research for the book, I thought, what better way to sort of figure out how hair color alone can affect one's sort of attractiveness quotient, as it were, than going on Match.com. So I went on with my hair photoshopped back to the brown shade that I had dyed it, and I did it in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. And then 3 months later, I went on with my now gray hair. And in each, you know, in both, all the information was the same. I was 50, you know, very clearly. Three times as many men were interested in going out with me with my hair gray as they were with my hair brown.
And I thought that was surprising. But you also pointed out in that piece that, well, maybe this was guys who thought maybe they'd have an easier time hitting on a gray-haired woman because you'd be more desperate.
Yeah, well, you know, and I sort of thought that. But then I think on reflection, when I was on Good Morning America a while ago, and they replicated the experiment with a 61-year-old widow in Florida, and she had the exact same results. And what I think it actually is a signifier for is that to the degree that we're being more kind of candid about our own state in life, that might make us more approachable on some level. We would be less judgmental, potentially, of, you know, a comparably aged man. I think that makes it sort of just one little barrier that might exist to meeting new people, and I took that as a very positive sign. I mean, you know, I was surprised. I expected the exact opposite result based on our kind of cultural perceptions of what we think matters.
Yeah. You know, our radio audience certainly can't see you or the pictures. but you're completely gray right now, right?
Oh, totally gray. I mean, I had in my mind's eye, because, you know, I don't know if you dye your hair or not, but, you know, for me, I was dyeing it a darker shade than what had been my natural sort of color. And so as the roots grew out, I thought I was going to be that kind of fabulous sort of, you know, white hair that Meryl Streep had, you know, in The Devil Wears Prada.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm solidly salt and pepper.
Yeah. Well, and I will fess up. I am. I might even be more than salt and pepper now. I do color my hair, and
Yes. And
it was. But I went for a period without doing it. I started seeing the gray hair. I think I was still in my late 20s when I started seeing the gray hair.
Yeah, same with me. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I did. I dyed through my 30s, and then I went for a period in my 40s where I didn't. And in fact, if listeners go to our website, WPR.org, the picture of me on our website. It shows the salt and pepper, but now I have a lovely reddish color.
I've had that color. I'm familiar with it.
And what's funny is that I decided to start coloring my hair again after a period of not doing it, right after a big discussion with a lot of women about whether these 40-something women were ever going to do Botox or do plastic surgery and this quest for youth. And I'm like, oh, no, not me. Look at my hair. I don't even dye my hair. And then I started dyeing my hair. The pressure was there, I think. Why do you think it is that women especially want to cover up that gray?
I think that there's lots of strands that come together here, and it's not an easy, simple answer. But I think one piece of it is, in the 1950s, only 7% of women dyed their hair. Today, you know, according to Clairol, it's 65%, and I think in lots and lots of communities it's obviously closer to 100%. And what I think happened is that Clairol introduced easy, inexpensive, safe, you know, hair color that you could do at home in the 50s for the very first time ever. And that's the same time that women started going into the workforce in substantial numbers. And I think that there was this sort of kind of almost perfect storm moment where it was like, oh, we're leaving the house. We don't have to be sort of branded as homemakers necessarily anymore. We can change our identity. And what better way to do that easily than with hair color? And so work and professionalism and, you know, became kind of inextricably linked, I think, with hair color. Then, you know, you factor in the fact that in 1900 our life expectancy was 47, and today it's 80. And so we're living tremendously longer. And we don't know what that means or what that feels like or how to age gracefully or sort of any kind of strand. So there's a lot of complicated stuff happening out there. And, you know, I ended up sort of making my choice in writing the book because it struck me as kind of peculiar that we didn't think that there was at least an option anymore in the culture to kind of go a different route.
So to speak.
Yeah, well, yeah. Exactly. Well, you know, and one of the things I found out when I interviewed another 100 women when I wrote the timepiece, and, you know, to your point earlier a bit, the sense that they would not necessarily get a promotion or that they might not be even, you know, received in a way to be a candidate for a new job is real. And, you know...
Yeah, you did an experiment with that in interviewing for jobs?
Yeah, I did. I went back to corporate recruiters to sort of position myself as someone who might want to go to back into the workforce. And, you know, their feedback was really sobering because it wasn't about my gray hair so much as it was the fact that as a 50-year-old woman trying to go back at any level modestly comparable to what I had had in my previous employment was a non-starter, that I was simply unemployable in that sense, that, you know, the younger people for whom I might be working would feel uncomfortable with me, and, you know, they said, you could be a consultant, but I wouldn't think so much about, you know, going back to work.
And you think they would have said this even if you had your brown helmet hair?
I do, I do. And I think the reality is because gray hair is the one really overt signifier that we are no longer 20, even though you and I were going gray in our 20s. You know, people feel that it's, even though we're not, you know, tricking anybody about our actual age, it at least confuses the dialogue a little bit and allows people to have the sense that perhaps, you know, they're presenting a different kind of, you know, youthfulness.
We're talking with Ann Kramer. She's the author of the book Going Gray: What I Learned About Beauty, Sex, Work, Motherhood, Authenticity, and Everything Else That Really Matters. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for her, or maybe even your experiences. Have you allowed yourself to go gray, or do you color your hair? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And we'll wonder, is there still a double standard where women who go gray are considered old while men are considered distinguished? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up on Talk of the Nation this afternoon between 1 and 3, talk about when someone hangs a noose. Most people would agree it sends a clear message. What's not so clear is the proper response. After 1 on Talk of the Nation, how can we or how should we respond to hate? That's Talk of the Nation after 1. We're talking about how we are perceived if we let our hair go gray. That's what our guest did. She, a few years ago, decided to stop coloring her hair, and she is now completely gray, and she writes about her experiences in the book Going Gray: What I Learned About Beauty, Sex, Work, Motherhood, Authenticity, and Everything Else That Really Matters. An email from Elsie in Milwaukee that I'd like to share first. As a 59-year-old divorced female who started graying in her 30s, genetics rule, I color my hair. In my 40s, random men would say to me, "You're really attractive, but you'd look so much better if you colored your hair," as if I asked them. I resisted for years, but gave in finally, not because of their comments. My observation, one of them, is that if you are happily married, especially if your spouse is graying, it's a lot easier to deal with. Gray is nice looking, but most of society still judges you as old, old, old. Out of touch, out of style, no matter how else you present yourself. Sad, but true. Ann Kramer?
Well, you know, I think there's an analogous kind of situation where, you know, years ago, men with bald hair, who were bald, felt kind of, you know, overlooked and unsightly in the same way I think that women with gray hair often feel today. And then professional athletes like Michael Jordan and, you know, entertainers and started shaving their head and doing it. And it suddenly became kind of cool and very masculine and kind of a virile look for men to have, the opposite of what it had been sort of portrayed in, you know, earlier decades. And I think that there's the opportunity, in fact, for something like that to happen with women. I think that, you know, with Helen Mirren stepping out just a little bit, you know, there might be some new steps. I know that I talked to the chief colorist at Clairol, and after The Devil Wears Prada, he said that, you know, tons and tons of women were actually going into salons saying, "I want that look. You know, I'd like to have that." So I feel like that this is a cultural thing that we as women have the power to actually shift. I don't, you know, I think whatever choice any individual makes is totally swell. But what it feels to me like right now is that there isn't much of an option for women on the table in terms of how they choose to kind of spend their time and money.
Oh, speaking of money, I was shocked. You figure that you spent like $300,000 on hair dye?
No, that was asset adjusted. I spent $65,000 over 25 years doing the hair color, and that mind you was not in a, you know, fancy Madison Avenue salon. It was in a pretty regular downtown salon. But that's just, you know, I've had other women say, "Oh, you got off easy." Mm-hmm. You know, but the other point I was going to make about you look old, old, old. One of the things that I found as I started to do this was that, you know, I had gained like 15 pounds in my 40s. You know, the kind of pound a year that happens and you don't notice it. And so as I started to let my hair go gray, I realized, you know, I can't just change one aspect and not kind of think of my overall sort of look. And I realized it was time to get, you know, on top of my weight. You know, I think I used to think that my hair color would kind of camouflage the fact that I was wearing kind of you know, five-year-old clothing and shoes and had gained weight. And so I set out, actually, to kind of lose the weight. You know, I got a new haircut. I realized the colors that I was wearing were no longer kind of flattering, so the browns and olives and, you know, russets that I'd been wearing with my dyed brown hair didn't really work with my gray hair. So you can't, like, it's a work in progress. You know, you can't just do one thing and not the others. And I think if women do that and approach it in a kind of total way, then I don't think that perception of old or dowdy necessarily will come.
Yeah. And you're going to stay gray.
Absolutely. You know, I am stopped on the street now by people saying, you know, where do you get your hair done?
Yeah.
And, you know, commenting on, I've never had that happen in all the, you know, seven or eight different colors I've had in my life.
You said it is easier because your husband likes it too.
He likes it too, but I mean, he obviously, you know, he didn't have any big comments when I dyed my hair jet black when I turned 40, or, you know, he's one of those guys for whom my hair color is kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, whatever you want, honey.
Yeah, you know, and thank God.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Louise in Spring Green. Hi, you're on the air.
I am enjoying this so much. I'll have to tell you, your survey of the people's response to gray hair on the dating line. Of course the men go for the blondes, because that's what gray is. We're silver blondes. We're silver foxes. We're sharp.
That's true.
We might be old, but we don't have to be dowdy. I love your comments about changing the way you dress. Mm-hmm. And mainly, if you wear glasses, get some modern glasses.
Right.
I am silver-haired, wish I was more so, because I would love to go back to the platinum blonde I was when I was 17, but I'm not salt and pepper. And, you know, it's wonderful. I've earned every single one of them. Every gray hair and every wrinkle. I think we need a revolution.
Did you ever dye your hair?
No, but I bleached it a lot.
Uh-huh, right, okay. Well, same
yeah.
for difference.
And
yeah,
I really do think that as we age, the dark dyes make us look older, because the contrast with the change in the skin is really so stark that it looks so unnatural.
Yes. Well, you know, one of the things I did in research for the book is I sent out this survey to about 500 people across the country, and I had a couple of 30-somethings, a couple of 40-somethings, and a couple of 50-somethings. And half the survey recipients got images of the people with brown or gray hair, and the other half got the exact opposite images. And I asked how old people thought they were with the gray or the brown hair. And what I discovered is if you're in your 40s and 50s, hair color shaves off about 2 years maximum off the estimated age that people thought, you know, the individuals in the pictures were. So it doesn't, in fact, make us look any younger. We all know that a 50-year-old woman's a 50-year-old woman, but she's a good 50 or whatever it might be.
So my red with blonde streaks isn't, I'm not fooling anybody.
I don't, you know, Joy, I don't know you in person, so I can't say that for sure, but I think there's this sort of collective kind of fib that we all agree to believe that it does, because it kind of serves, I think we don't, it's death is not talked about. Aging is not talked about in our culture. And I think as a result, you know, the longer we can prolong that conversation, the happier we seem to be.
Thanks very much to Louise for the call. Jamie in River Falls. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. And thanks for this. It's great. I am a natural brunette, and at the age of, and grade early, and always colored my hair, and about the age of 38 or so, my 5-year-old son's classmate came up to me. I decided to shave my head, and literally almost, and let it go gray because I'd had it. I was done coloring it. And so his little classmate came up to me with gray hair, and or I was with gray hair, and he said, are you Ryan's grandmother?
Oh.
And at that point I realized, you know, I'm still a little too young to go gray, so I decided to start bleaching it blonde instead. Mm-hmm. And I had so much fun with it, and I'm still a bleach blonde at 44. And it really, I had to put a little more makeup on. I had to start wearing different colors. And, you know, it's been great. And I get a lot of compliments on it. And gray's okay if you have the coloring for it. But, you know, it's, and I think the darker, like the previous caller talked about darker hair and how it does age older women. I think she's right. And so I just wanted to make that comment, and thanks. It sounds like a great book. I'm definitely going to look for it. So.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
Until someone called her grandma, she was okay with it, Ann Kramer.
Well, when I first told my family I was doing this. My daughter was an eighth grader. She was 13, and she, you know, she said, "Oh no, please don't do that, mommy. I don't want an old mommy at school because, of course, none of her friends' moms had gray hair." But I go back to the point that, you know, when basically I was born in the 50s, women weren't doing it. I think there's been this kind of the for lack of a better way of expressing it, the kind of brainwashing that's come through from the marketers, that a five-year-old kid would think to say something like that is really interesting. That's two generations. You know, that's a very quick period of time.
In the 50s, women, I mean, I remember my mom had her bottle of Clairol.
It was the very beginning.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Only 7% of us. It's, you know, right now, I think like 1% of American women do Botox and things like that. So if 7% dyed their hair in the 50s, and, you know, I mean, we can sort of project to the future,
right,
of a kind of Twilight Zone,
yeah,
land we might occupy.
Thanks to Jamie Molly in Baraboo. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Anne, I read an interview with you online, and your photo is just stunning. You're absolutely beautiful with the gray hair.
Much better looking with the gray hair.
I thought it was two different people. I really had no, when I first glanced at it. I'm 41, and I have gray hair, and I think it helped that my parents didn't color their hair. That sort of set the precedent for my sister and myself, but we both have full heads of gray hair, and we get just unending compliments. It's just nonstop. And I said to her one day, you know, how is it that we pull this off? Because sometimes I see other women with gray hair and I think, oh my goodness, is that how I look? And she said, well, a lot of it has to do with our attitudes. I mean, it's a fine line to walk, being fashionable yet not looking like we're trying to look too young.
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, keeping our weight in check and looking sharp and knowing what colors to wear. And it is, it's a fine line, but it's when you hit it, it is so gratifying to be able to walk out the door with my 5-year-old son and have people go, oh, that's not his grandma, you know, that's his mom.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting thing. And I think you're hitting the nail on the head, though, that it's, none of us really know quite, that line is so fine. And there's very little support for helping women kind of figure out how to strike the right moment because, you know, I don't know if you guys have the same situation that I have. I find buying clothing now unbelievably hard because it's either too youthful or too dowdy. And there's very little kind of in between that, you know, seems age appropriate for 40s and 50-year-old women.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I put on black now, and I feel completely washed out. So
yeah.
The color challenge, everything. But when you hit it,
yeah, boy, awesome.
Feels good. Yeah,
cool. Thank
Thanks.
You.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Molly, for the call. Yeah, I think you wrote about, I'm looking for it now, but it was about twin sisters. Sisters. Yeah.
Yeah, they were. They're these fabulous sisters. One's an academic at KU. University of Kansas, and they were identical twins, and they hadn't seen each other in about a year, and one of them, Mary, had been living in Texas and was moving to Poughkeepsie and went to see her sister en route, and she'd let her hair go gray during the previous year, and her twin was walking up to her on the street and like had sort of one of those like heart attacks, but then it was Mary, the woman who had let her hair go gray, who looked at her sister and thought, she looks better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And she went immediately back to dyeing her hair. And interestingly enough, though, Alice, the one who didn't dye her hair, is a friend of mine on Facebook now, and emailed me the other day saying, you know, I'm thinking about this now. So who knows?
Well, I'm thinking I have a hair appointment of all things tomorrow afternoon, and I've got a decision to make, don't I?
But the thing I think is interesting is that colorists think that it's not in their best interest to help women figure out a way to transition to their natural color, but in fact, there is a lot of kind of work involved with them, and I feel like if individual ones became known as the place that was the go-to place to help women make these transitions, they would have business, you know, coming out the doors.
Pam in Appleton is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi. Well, I'm a 51-year-old woman, and I've been dyeing my hair now for a number of years, and happily so. I feel that there really is still a double standard, that my wonderful husband, who has started going gray, looks terrific. He looks distinguished, as do all men, and educated and all kinds of things. But a woman who is gray, I just feel that our society at large, I mean, I'm listening and hearing these wonderful stories about women who've gotten very positive feedback. The author's gotten very positive feedback. But I feel our society, unfortunately, at large, still looks at a gray-haired woman and thinks old and out of touch, out of date. It's very sad, actually, but, you know, for me personally, it's not just how I think others are going to perceive me, but perhaps how I perceive myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, I'm actually thinking about that as I'm listening to you. I'm thinking, you know, this is actually probably more personal than I have acknowledged before.
Yeah, and you know, it's really interesting. I interviewing another colorist and a lot of hairdressers across the country. There's this sense, another reason why women dye, and I think probably, you know, I did at different stages in my life. Well, I think I did it to change identity or something more. But is they look in the mirror and feel like they're not seeing who they believe to be their kind of authentic self on some level. That person that we sort of grew up with our natural hair color in our teens and maybe early 20s. And so I think a lot of women try and replicate that hair color because they feel like without it, they're kind of losing their essence or something. I don't know if that's your experience or not, but there's some relationship there in their minds to how they feel inside versus how they feel like they're looking outside.
Right. Yeah, I think, well, what is that sort of saying that we're all 20 in our heads, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we all sort of go through our lives, you know, mm-hmm. sort of perceiving ourselves as we did, you know, when we first sort of gained adulthood, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think maybe that's part of it. But
yeah.
Also, I came to motherhood late. I worked
uh-huh.
many years, and I became a mother for the first time at 40.
Right.
And so I still have a first grader.
Yep.
And so I could not even imagine, you know, going to my son's, you know, little first grade gatherings. And, you know, I know that most of those moms are considerably younger than I, but
right.
I could not even see myself, you know, showing up and
yeah,
looking
no,
my salt and pepper, you know.
You're wearing camouflage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
As it
pretty
were,
much.
You know, yeah, it is, in the abstract, I think if you ask anybody, oh, do you think gray hair makes a person look old? The answer is going to always be yes. In my survey, 99% of women thought that, like, men would not find women with gray hair attractive, although that 99% thought that men with gray hair were attractive, to your double standard point. But I think in the specific, and that's a little bit what my Match.com experiment was, I also went out bar hopping to sort of see what happened, you know, if I were actually out in the real world doing it. And had similar results, you know, meeting men with out in public. I think in the specific, it's actually not necessarily true. And kind of, again, if you go to the Michael Jordan bald men sort of place, we need more women to kind of make it acceptable. I mean, I feel like if Hillary Clinton or Katie Couric, you know, or other women who are in the public eye maybe made the choice to do it, they would help destigmatize that sense that you might feel going into a classroom of a first grader.
Yeah. In fact, there are some, that piece you wrote for Time magazine shows Katie Couric with gray hair and Condoleezza
yeah.
Rice and Hillary Clinton and others.
Yeah.
And it takes a little getting used to, I have to admit.
Well, you know, Photoshop never really lets you look actually like you're going to do it, but it does take getting used to. But I think in it, like all things, in about a week you'd adjust to the fact that, like, oh, there's Katie with her gray hair and,
mm-hmm.
like, think, you know, terrific.
Ann Kramer, our guest. In fact, you can probably, Ann Kramer, your website probably has those photos on it, doesn't it, of your
yes,
before
it does,
and afters?
Yeah.
Yeah, annkramer.com. It's A-N-N-E-K-R-E-A-M-E-R. Ann Kramer.com. is her website. Her book is Going Gray, What I Learned About Beauty, Sex, Work, Motherhood, Authenticity, and Everything Else That Really Matters. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. To gray or not to gray, that is the question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 9 o'clock, it's Kathleen Dunn. Research libraries throughout the country are taking a stand regarding the digitization and dissemination of their collections. And after 9, Kathleen and her guests will discuss why some libraries choose corporations such as Google, who place restrictions on the material, while others join Open Content Alliance, which has no restrictions. So that's coming up after 9 o'clock. We're talking about Going Gray. That's the name of the book by our guest, Ann Kramer. It's about her experiences deciding to stop coloring her hair and what she learned about beauty, sex, work, motherhood, authenticity, and everything else that really matters. We have an email from John in Wanakee, and this is interesting. He says, just to add to the discussion, a very good friend from college ended up dyeing her hair gray in order to appear older and more distinguished. She was very young-looking and was applying for jobs as a physics professor, and at the time, she found that she was taken much more seriously and did get a very good job with the artificial gray. Ever hear anything like that, Ann Kramer?
Well, I have. In fact, it was really interesting. I had a couple of women who had been management consultants working for kind of the big consulting firms like McKinsey or Booz who said exactly that. And another academic who was at Stanford now said the same thing, that, you know, she had not yet gone gray and felt like if the minute she did, she would gain a little more credibility with her colleagues. So I think that there is, in certain professions, you know, I had assumed that, you know, Wall Street or people who were financial officers in companies and things like that might feel more comfortable having their hair gray. And in most companies, that's still not the case. But, you know, judges perhaps, you know, would think about doing something like that. I don't know.
Barbara in Eau Claire is with us now. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Oh, I've told everybody about your article I read in Time magazine, and I had the reverse effect that I had been letting my hair go gray. It was spring, and I'm very active. I bike, and I didn't want to worry about hair color changing, and it was coming in a pretty platinum. But I read the article, and I've been very concerned about this since I was even 28, the difference on how gender is treated. Anyways, I decided to color my hair since fall was coming, and why not? I said, I'll go with the option. I also felt, you won't believe this, that I was feeling discrimination in the doctor's office. I hadn't been feeling well. I'd gone to quite a few doctors, and I thought they were treating me as an old lady. And I said, I'll see if there's a difference when I go next time. So I got my hair dyed. This is a funny story. I came out of the mall, and somebody was interviewing like they do. They had these surveys and asked if they could interview me. And I said, I'm busy. And they said, well, we'll pay you $15. I said, okay, I'll take it. So they said, do you wear mascara? And I said, no, I don't wear any kind of things like that. I just wear makeup, lipstick. So then she said, and can I ask how old you are? And I said, 66. And she put her head down, and she said, oh, I can't use you. And I said, how old did you think I was? She said, 45. And I ran back to the hairdresser and told her. But I went to the doctor, and I don't know if it was coincidence, but he really treated me very nicely and listened and smiled. And so I don't know now. I just think it's great we have the option.
Yeah.
And I like the idea. I love color in my life. And I have to tell you, it has affected my self-esteem, at least for this time of year. And in the spring, I may let it go again. Mm-hmm. I feel literally like I was living in a world with older people. And now I feel like I'm in my 40s, which I'm not saying I want to be 40. I just feel that somehow it is my more athletic self and outgoing. I don't know. I may change again, but it really affected my own psyche, I feel.
Well, that's actually a great story. Mm-hmm. I find that story really, I find that the treatment in the doctor's office really interesting. I had not thought to do any research in that regard, and I think it's a great insight and also just appalling. I mean, you know, when you think about it, the idea, again, is all of us are now, you know, 77 million of us are now going to be, you know, moving into that kind of
mature, shall we say, class of people might be discriminated against, even at the doctor's office, is just shocking to me. I'm sure your story is totally accurate. I mean, you know, but really amazing.
And it's interesting how she has the, I guess maybe I've done a little bit of that too, just experimenting. It's fun. You go back and forth. I'm not sure I'm trying to fool anybody when I go from salt and pepper to red and then to something else. You know, it's not like...
Right. No, and I used color very similarly throughout my life, you know, and it was fun. If I was feeling, you know, a little down and changed my color, tweaked it in some way, I did get a sort of psychological lift. I mean, definitely connected.
Thanks a lot for the call. Mary in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I find hair length to be also a piece of this very interesting behavior. My mother, who never colored her hair, and as she aged, became grayer and grayer, and that absolutely beautiful silver gray, also to kind of reinforce her individuality, as all of those other privileges and opportunities to, you know, drive a car and go places and things like that were taken away, she wanted to have long hair as she became older. Mm-hmm. And I just picture this, and I just love that stance for her.
Right.
And so not only the color, but I also find that the length becomes important. Now I totally understand and realize the piece, the piece about, you know, care, and as you're getting older, it's harder to care for. But for her, she was defining her individuality by letting her hair grow long and very beautifully gray. So
that's a great story.
Yeah.
Thanks
very
much.
And I also find, in terms of the individuality, we were on vacation in England this summer, and the ratio there of women who dye their hair, I think, is the exact opposite as it is here. So about 70%, I think, of women do not dye their hair. And as you walk around, you see every nuance of kind of shade and color and skin type and body type and hair texture. And there's this, just each color is absolutely unique. You know, every woman grays in their own specific way. So instead of having, you know, hundreds of women all with, you know, a specific Clairol color, everybody has their unique color. And I think that that's an interesting benefit that I hadn't thought about before I actually let my hair go gray.
Yeah. So now that you're gray, will you ever consider, let's say the crow's feet or the wrinkles get a bit much, will you ever consider something like a plastic surgery or Botox
I write in my book, I've tried Botox 3 times in my late 40s and had one of those experiences where the first time I did it, I walked out and sort of was embarrassed. And I went back twice afterwards just because I thought, well, maybe it didn't take, or, you know, I don't know, I don't feel any, you know, just to sort of experiment with it. And now that I've, you know, let my hair be its natural color, I think it wouldn't fit right somehow with me to do that. I'm definitely going to embrace whatever topical, you know, inventions come on the horizon, because I think, you know, why not? We all do want to look our best however we conceive of, you know, where our line in the, you know, doing different things might be. But I'm disinclined to kind of go down that plastic surgery route.
Roger in Lake Moore. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm married to a very lovely woman. We're both in our 50s, who has short hair kind of a la Judi Dench, which I find very attractive. And she knows that I prefer her natural salt and pepper color, but she calls her hair mousy brown. And every year or so, she just gets this urge to dye her hair. And I find it very interesting because she looks so lovely just the way she is without it. And the hair color never turns out the way she wishes it would and is never quite happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, she's an artist. We've been married for 25 years. I say, do whatever you feel you need to do. She knows my preference. But I just find it very interesting that she kind of goes on and off the hair color schedule and is never quite happy either way.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't mean to laugh, but that's happened to me too, yeah.
Well, I think I think all of us, the color ultimately, you know, the day you walk out of the shop, it looks kind of great, but like
5 days later, as you've washed it and begins to fade, it's not quite what you have in your mind's eye. But I've had so many men write to me saying, I'm buying this book for my wife. I've been telling her for years, I don't care. I'll love her whatever her hair color is. I'm happy to have, I love the natural color. And I find that a very, certainly an unintended audience for the book that I'd never really expected. I love that you called in and have the same point of view.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks very much, Roger. Kind of you to call in, and maybe you might want to pick up Going Gray. Janet in Trempealeau. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Shannon from Trempealeau, and I'm 27. And when I see people, women walking with a great hairstyle, no permanent, no dye, I think it gives them a sense of style of their own and sense of confidence. And it seems like you can just tell that they have grasped the world and they're enjoying every bit of life as they can. And I think people need to quit spending money on hair dye and permanents and start spending money on a good hairstyle and great clothes and get a gym membership. Get out there and enjoy your life and what it has to offer and enjoy your age and your genetics.
That's fantastic. I hope my daughters feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. And I hope that I feel the same way when I'm 30 years older. So do this show again in 30 years. And hopefully I'll have a great hairstyle and great gray hair and great clothes to wear and, a membership to a gym or something. So
And the same for men, too.
Go to a great salon and just pamper yourself with the great hairstyle that you could have.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Janet, for the call. Men don't get it a lot, but I was just laughing. I saw just the other day on late night television, or actually early morning television for me when I'm watching cable, they have it's just some sort of Grecian formula or something.
Just for men.
If you have gray hair, you're not going to get the babe in the bar, but you,
Isn't that ad shocking?
I know. Mr. Graybeard is rejected. You talked a little bit about it. Your internet dating experiment, you got a lot of guys, more guys who were interested in you as a gray-haired woman than as a brown-haired woman. But when you went on the bar hopping experience, was it the same thing, did you say?
Yeah, it was. It was interesting. I mean, I've been married for 30 years, so I wasn't actually going to, pick anybody up.
Right. Your husband was a little bit bemused by this, wasn't he?
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, he's a journalist and sort of got the fact that it was, for investigative purposes. And I went with a friend of his as my chaperone so that, it was all copacetic. But, in talking with young men, and I sat down at one bar. I figured out the kind of perfect. I went to high bars and low bars and hotel bars and restaurant bars and neighborhood bars and gay bars and all over just to sort of see what the different response would be. And the sort of perfect spot, I think, if you're single looking to meet a normal, sane guy, is at a sort of neighborhood bar with good music and that plays sports on television, because that's where I kind of hit pay dirt in terms of meeting guys who, were fun to talk to, and, had I been interested in carrying it a step further, I think I easily could have. And my hair color didn't seem to be a particular disadvantage. I think it goes back to that 27-year-old woman who just called in, this kind of point. I think, and then my friend who went out with me, the chaperone, my male friend, said, in the book, it's like if you look like you've lived your life but you're happy with it and you're interested in what the other person has to say, I don't think guys really care about much of anything other than, you're interesting and fun and think they're kind of cute.
Mm-hmm. Diane in New Auburn is with us now. Hi, Diane.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. One of the things that nobody has addressed is the gray hair that probably gets discolored either because somebody is on well water or else on medication, and it takes on a very yellowy cast. I loved my gray hair when I first had it. It was a beautiful silvery color. And then it started to get discolored, and no matter what we tried to get that yellowish color out, it just couldn't, and it became a very unpretty color, and I ended up coloring it again. And incidentally, when it was the pretty silvery color, I did manage to find a boyfriend who was considerably younger than I was. And so
there you go.
Way to go,
the
Diane.
The hair wasn't the problem, but then when it changed, my attitude towards it changed, and I've had it colored, not a harsh color, but I've had it colored ever since just because I didn't like the way that it evolved.
Yeah, I know the phenomenon you're talking about, and I actually, when I was talking, interviewing the Clairol people for the timepiece, said to them, you know, don't you think you could spend some of your energy on getting good products out there for, you know, women who actually choose to have their gray hair? And I think more companies now are trying to bring those kind of different bluing and purpling shampoos and rinses and things out to help with that yellowing issue, you know. I don't know if your well water made it intractable in some way I can't understand, but I do hope that there will be more products actually for women as they, you know, to add sheen to gray if they go that route.
Well, maybe Diane in Sun Prairie knows a little bit about that. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I'm calling about the gray hair. I have gray hair, and I have noticed the different shampoos that I use, how it does tint my hair more of a yellow color, or maybe other shampoos will make it the pure, soft-looking white color. So I have to be careful on which shampoos that I select.
Yeah, just yeah. So, yeah. And you too, Ann Kramer?
Yep. I now use there's a couple of different that are on the market. Hard to find, always on the bottom shelf of the drugstore, but if you look hard enough, you can find them.
Thanks very much, Diane. Roseanne in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, I just picked up my bottle of shampoo, and it's Pantene for Silver Expressions. And
there we go.
That's what I have, too. Mm-hmm.
Right, and it's kind of in a light gray bottle, and it's really hard to find. You're right. But I have white hair, and you haven't been talking about white hair, and it's been a real head-turner. I can remember walking down the airport in Chicago and just everybody looking at me.
Yeah,
and I couldn't figure out why they were doing it, and then I realized it's my hair.
Yep.
But it turned white when I was, I let it go when I was 40 when a friend told me that the dyeing was was too much of a contrast with my skin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost impossible to cover white roots.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, Roseanne, we only have a minute to go. Ann Kramer, final thoughts or encouragement for...
All I can say is that I've loved the conversation with everybody who's called in, and I think at least, you know, we're having a dialogue about how we want to age in the country that I think is healthy. And, you know, women thinking about their choices and knowing that they have them is good. And if any politicians are listening, go gray. Set the standard.
Thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Joy. It was real fun.
Yeah, Ann Kramer, author of Going Gray, What I Learned About Beauty, Sex, Work, Motherhood, Authenticity, and Everything Else That Really Matters. Ann Kramer, former executive vice president and worldwide creative director at Nickelodeon, Nick at Night, co-founder of Spy Magazine. She also wrote a piece that was recently in Time Magazine, The War Over Going Gray, and she blogs regularly as the health aging expert for Yahoo. And again, you can see her gray and brown-haired pictures on her website, annkramer.com. Thanks to Karen Prager and Leo Duran for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.